Amen. Thank you for those words. Great start. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Father. The teaching tonight is about a forgotten rebellion. And as I'm going to be sharing these scriptures and these perspectives, I have to say I didn't know any of these things. And I think that maybe as I share with you and kind of show you the evidence, that it might seem absolutely clear after I share it, but it's important to understand going into this, I didn't know this perspective. What is the forgotten rebellion? Well, three churches out of seven that the apostle Paul started rebelled. They rejected Paul. Can you imagine? I've never heard anybody explain it that way. I know that it says in 2 Timothy 1:10 15, all of Asia has departed. But what does that mean? I don't know. And so here's a map, and here's the maps. And so there was more than seven books written, obviously. But you have Colossians, or Colossus. Here's Galatia. Here's Ephesus. All of Asia is gone. You know what else is in Asia? Antioch. That's where Antioch's like historical. That's where they first started called Christians. Mm-hmm. And they didn't say, but you're looking at this going, would that be defeating? And who is the Apostle Paul warning of this to? Timothy. So even this teaching, what I really wanted to call it is letters to Timothy. Timothy, let me explain what it means to be a leader. And you know, with it, leading or teaching, and I was recently reflecting, this isn't James, woe unto you, you teachers, because of greater judgment. So you might have an opinion or something like that, but don't teach it. Unless you can take it very serious, because with that judgment seat, it'd be like you're going before the Supreme Court. They have a lot of authority, yeah. Right? And you're gonna. So I remember there's a guy who went to prison, and he was in prison for like 10 years. So he wrote a death threat to the judge. What an idiot! It sounds funny, but even with me with teachings. Thank you for your patience. How many times I've been reckless with speculations. And as earlier, if it's not in the book, just don't argue about it. Set it aside. Stories, people's opinions, we just kind of set them aside. Okay. But as far as the scriptures, what do the scriptures say? And I think about letters to Timothy. Timothy, the apostle Paul's and say, I lost 43% of the church. 43% of the church rejects me. I never thought about that until I just did a math today. What's 3 divided by 7? 43%? Wow! Golly. 43% of Protestants reject you. That could be really good. What is this forgotten rebellion? It's going to be what happened to the Apostle Paul. And what happened with the rebellion? We don't necessarily know, but there are some scriptures that I believe is going to give us some hints. What happened to these churches? And also, one of the most important about this whole, this forgotten rebellion. We remember the rebellions with Moses, the ground swallowing people, right?
Yeah.
Moses, go kill these guys, kill those people. Here's these rebellions, but in this, it's like, here's a rebellion that I never thought of that from this perspective. The conclusion to the title, the introduction to the teaching is, was Paul shocked? And the conclusion, I don't think Paul was shocked at all. I was shocked. 43%! Paul's not allowed into 43% of the churches? Now, it doesn't say it, but it said all in Asia. But you know, the 3 out of 4 churches rejected the Apostle Paul. How many teachers say, oh, I'd love to see Jesus Christ with Apostle Paul in here? Like, no, you wouldn't. Not necessarily, but they could. So what exactly is this teaching? You go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy.
Right after 1 Timothy.
And there's a scripture that I had memorized for years, but I had never read the context. I didn't know what the context was. And how I memorize this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But the real word is not fear, it's the word cowardice, to cower. Mm-hmm. What's the context? What is Timothy warning? What is the Apostle Paul warning Timothy? He's warning him, It's not going to be easy. Because it's easy to be persecuted by Hamas, liberals, left-wing, loonies, whatever you want to say. But when the body of Christ starts persecuting you, that's not easy. We're not expecting the church to be persecuting and pressing in. Before this teaching, I never thought about 43% of the church persecuting Paul. No, wait a minute. No, Paul started these things. They don't want it. He's not a, so, but the context of verse, I said, did I say 10? I meant 7 if I said 10. It's verse 7. Does somebody read that?
Yahweh has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and correction.
What is the context? Go down to verse 15. What is like the conclusion, at least in my opinion, of this hardship? Somebody read verse 15.
Thou knowest this, that all they who are in Asia have turned away from me, whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes.
Okay, so all of Asia has departed or turned away from the Apostle Paul. What does that mean? I didn't know that until today. 43% of the church. One generation. This isn't 100 years later. One generation, the Apostle Paul's not allowed back in. Going to go, man. And when I read that, I was kind of, I couldn't believe it. But the conclusion of this teaching is, I don't think the Apostle Paul was shocked at all. The Apostle Paul was a Moses. Now, why did they turn away? The scriptures are not specific, but there are hints about why people would turn away from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, was he polarizing?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's not going to give. No, if it specifically says this, I don't care what you say. The scripture says this. That's it. Well, that's not very loving. Say whatever you want to say. And so, why did 43% of the church turn away? Chapter 4, 3 through 4. Somebody would read that.
There will be a season when the helpful teachings they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will unto themselves heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear, and from the truth indeed their ears will they turn away, while unto stories they will turn themselves aside.
And so it appears that the Apostle Paul is going, Timothy, don't cave. Don't give them what you want. And in my own imagination, as I think about the body of Christ and churches, and I'm not right, but this is my idea, is you got to save the church. Mm-hmm. You got to keep it together. You might lose one or two people. Somebody's going to have a bad apple, but not 43%. When you start losing 43%, now we got to talk, right? He's going to say no. What did Jesus Christ say? Knock the dust off your feet. What did it say? If your wife departs, let her depart. Let her go. Remain faithful. You remain faithful. And what happened? What it appears to all the churches in Asia? It appeared they heaped up teachers with their itching ears, and they left stories. Here's stories. Heaven's for real. All these stories. Death after life. Where I had these experiences and stuff. And it's going to say, be ready, Timothy. But you remain faithful. Let's see here. And one other thing, what else happened to these churches? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Is another warning. And this is to Corinth. And I thought it was interesting when you look at the churches that rejected the Apostle Paul. I would have thought if any church was going to reject him, it wouldn't be Ephesus and Colossians. Ephesians is the sacred secret. No depth, height, mm-hmm. this love, this power energizes inside me, in me, and I'm seated in heavenly places, and I have the armor of God. Is that rebuke? No. That is exalting the body of Christ. They wouldn't reject me. They did. Then he writes a letter to the Corinthians. You dummies, what are you doing? You guys are all backwards here. The Apostle Paul comes in like a Moses. He is a Moses. He comes in with all these new rules, do different things, and he hits them in the head just like Moses would have. And guess what? It looks like the Corinths remained, and he was still in there. Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. And so some churches are going to reject you. Some believers are going to reject you. Let them reject you. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, is another warning of probably what happened to the Apostle Paul. Let somebody read that.
For if indeed he that cometh is proclaiming another Yahushua, whom we have not proclaimed, or a different spirit you are receiving which she had not received, or a different glad message which ye have never welcomed, you are well bearing.
So let's pause right there. So there's a warning. If the Jesus you are proclaiming is not the same one as the Apostle Paul, you're proclaiming what's called another Jesus. And this happened during the Apostle Paul's time. They just said, oh yeah, we know about this Jesus, and he's got this unconditional love. It doesn't matter what you do or you don't do. That's not the same Jesus. Mm-hmm. Or here, a different Ruah than what the Apostle Paul is, he's going, he's warning them. And if you go to verse 14, it's easier. Remember 11, 4 and verse 14. Let somebody read verse 14.
And no marvel, for Satan himself does transfigure himself into a messenger of light. No great things, therefore, if his ministers also are transforming themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Yeah, you see, think about the adversary. How smart is he? Is he smart?
Yeah. Brilliant.
Even a person with an average IQ, if you live 6,000 years, you have some pretty good ideas, right? What works, what doesn't work. And he's our adversary. Does he know how to get people? Oh, yeah. Don't underestimate him. The scriptures are our guides for us to clean house. Vero's really good about that, cleaning things and Cloroxing things. And when I got married, I didn't realize that there's different definitions of clean. Now everything is Cloroxed. I'm like, that was clean. She goes, that's not clean. Ruining everything. But that's what we should do with the word too. The objective is disinfect. You have bacteria, you have things like this, and it's not effect. And she's not doing that to hurt me. She's doing it to try to help, to say, trying to be clean. And the word, what is clean, what is not clean? If it's not clearly through the scriptures 5-6 times, we should set it aside. Don't argue about it. But the Apostle Paul is saying, stories from angels. Remember the stories? An angel gave me this story. I saw an angel, and an angel said this. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Mm-hmm. What if a loved one said, an angel showed up in my backyard? You should have saw it. It came down, and there was lights. And what I didn't know is that a baby had died back there, and they go into the story, and you start listening to this. I mean, how easy could Satan, the adversary, come up with stories that people go, that is incredible. And to me, a really good story really appeals to me. Mm-hmm. But don't call it this. Yeah. And so what he's saying is, so what I believe is what happens in churches is going to be a new Jesus, a Jesus Christ who's compromising. Mm-hmm. No, he really doesn't do that. He's going to love the sinner but hate the sin. Our casting crown says he was a friend of sinners and saints. Was he? No. His enemies called him a friend of sinners and saints. His enemies also called him Beelzebub. Was he Beelzebub?
No.
No, he wasn't a friend of sinners and saints. He was the light of the world. And if you are in darkness and you come before light, you're very uncomfortable. And even Peter, what did he do with Jesus Christ? Ah, you're making me really nervous, man. And here's Peter. But the thing is, Jesus Christ was polarizing, even more so than Paul. And Jesus and the Apostle Paul was Jesus. It's so neat you think about this, not literally, but Moses comes on the scene, and who is this Moses? He's been gone for 40 years, and all of a sudden, all these laws and these rules. What do you mean I can't eat hot dogs? What does that mean? What do you mean I can't eat catfish? What do you mean I got to do this? I got to do booths? I got to do this, and here's blood on my thumb and my ear. Does any of that stuff make any kind of sense? Oh, he's got these signs. Boom, boom, and he could validate it. Don't mess with this guy. He had people, the ground swallow him up. And because Yahweh validated, that is my man. If you don't bow to him, you don't bow to me. Pharaoh said that about Joseph. That's my man. That is me. Except I don't bow to him. And if you don't bow down to Moses, you answer to me. Moses, you have the authority to do what you want. Let the ground swallow these creeps. And here this thing is. And the Apostle Paul came along, and the Apostle Paul, I didn't know this till Dad started doing teaching, there's no more circumcision. Don't worry about new moons and Sabbaths, all kinds of different. Who the heck is this? The circumcision was supposed to be an age-abiding covenant forever. What did the Apostle Paul do? It was not in words, but it was in power. And most of his power, is it in the scriptures? Do we see his works? Not necessarily. We see writings of what he was able to do, but he was validating it through power and power. What's so neat about that is Jesus Christ was prophesied the seed of the woman's going to come and fix all this, right? The seed of the woman's coming. He's going to fix it. The seed of the woman. Satan's trying to kill the seed of the woman for 4,000 years. Kill the babies. Kill the babies. Wipe out Israel. Kill the babies. Because all I got to do is stop this baby from being born. Jesus Christ is born. He fulfills all the laws. He dies, he is resurrected at the right hand, and what's one of the first thing he does? I need a Moses. I'm going to be just like my dad. Who am I going to pick to be a Moses? Think about the writing. Son of Tarsus! You can imagine angels going, whoa, we've got a list of guys over here. We've made recommendations, oh Yehoshua, Lord Yehoshua, Adonai Yehoshua. Now it's Saul of Tarsus. This guy's going to be my Moses. Or whatever. Here's the thing. What is Moses going to do? Saul of Tarsus is going to come in. He's going to become the Apostle Paul. And he is going to be Christ in the flesh for the most part. And so when the Apostle Paul's writing these things, this is Christ speaking. Moses, turn to Exodus chapter 20. We don't have to go there. Actually, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 20, 3 through 6... Moses or Moshe lays down the Ten Commandments. Everything in the Ten Commandments, it appears to be new except for the Sabbath, because the Sabbath says remember the Sabbath. Yahweh, no images. There's no images. There's no other God besides Him. Right? Okay. Monotheism, one God. No images beside him. And he goes into these things. And what do these Israelites have all throughout their life? They got gods everywhere.
Yeah.
They got all kinds of sins. And who the heck is this guy? We got to melt things down.
Kitchen garden.
And he comes down. And was he saying that those things to increase his church?
No.
Was he saying those things to keep the church together? We went to one. And I saw a pastor. He does a lot of good things. And it's easy for me to cherry pick. But the worst thing that could happen in his mind is a church split. And he must have been through like a divorce or something. I've been through a divorce. It's absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
But in his mind, the worst thing that could happen is a church split. And I'm going, you're completely missing it. A shepherd's job is to protect the sheep. Right? Mm-hmm. Did you know there's infectious diseases that will kill all your sheep? There's diseases. You got hoof and mouth disease. And a shepherd would say, get rid of those sheep. Yeah. And a lot of times pastors today, it'd be easy for them to miss it, to say, no, we got to keep everybody together. No, you got to cut out. You got to cut it out. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And they need to get healed. They want to repent. Great, and come back in. But you got to get healed first. Even with the six sheep, it's nothing personal to the six sheep, but for everybody else, you got to keep it. And here the Apostle Paul is coming in like a shepherd. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Would somebody read that for me?
Second Corinthians. 4:6. But these things, brethren, has I transferred unto myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in us you might learn the lesson, not beyond the things that are written, that you do not puff yourself up individually for this one against it happened.
And so the first and second Corinthians, or at least specifically first, is a correction, it's a rebuke. Correcting a lot of areas, but here they don't add to the text.
Yeah.
How many translations today? We'll just tell people what they want. You're going to go, boy, your judgment. And those who willingly pass this thing on, saying it's the word, don't add to the text a new Jesus, a new Holy Spirit, these stories from angels or whatever are going to go, so here's the Apostle Paul coming in like the Ten Commandments. No and no. I started you guys in the first, yeah, it was Yehoshua through the Apostle Paul. So he's laying it down like the Ten Commandments. Now read chapter 5:5, please. Somebody read that.
What verse?
Chapter 5, verse 5.
To deliver such a one as this unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Yahweh.
And then verse 7.
Purge ye out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened, for our Passover hath been sacrificed Christ.
Verse 9.
I wrote unto you in my letter not to be mixing yourself up with fornicators.
Not at all, meaning the fornicators of the world or the covetous, the extortioners, the idolaters. Verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to be mixing yourself, if anyone named a brother, a fornicator, coveter, idolater, reviler, drunkard, extortioners, with such a one as this, not so much as to be eating. So it doesn't matter what a teacher says or somebody else says. A person who is living in this sin, not asking for help, we don't even eat with them. Don't add to the text. And Timothy, are you getting all this? Do you understand what it's like, Timothy, for the job you've been called to? I can imagine if I was Timothy going, I just want to be a fisherman. I'll just be a carpenter or something. But Yahweh put everybody in different positions. Here's Timothy, oh man of God, what does that mean?
He's a prophet.
He's a prophet. He's a prophet too. Going, boy, and the Apostle Paul is teaching him, I am like a Moses. And the Apostle Paul to Timothy, I'm embellishing, I'm making up stories, so go with me. Timothy, I'm like a Moses. I don't give a damn if people go or not. I don't bow down. It's me and Yehoshua and Yahweh. That's it. Stand to the word, convince, rebuke, reprove, do what the word says. And here's Timothy going, well, you don't understand what's happening. Even when I get to talk to pastors sometimes, they go, I'm not in control of everything. You got elders doing these things. You got some worship. You do your job. Do your job, do your job. And here this whole thing is, get rid of people. And he's purging them out, just like in Moses. And in my opinion, Timothy is being warned, don't be like an Aaron, an Aharon. And Aharon, he sinned really one time. And just two times where Miriam kind of looked at. But that one sin is very, very famous. What was that sin with Aharon?
He
made gods. Why did he make gods?
Please, the people want
his itching ears. Itching ears. They wanted images. They wanted stories. And what did he do? Did he have bad intentions? No. He had good intentions. I'm just going to keep everything together till Moses gets back. Look, Moses, whatever, it didn't say that. But Moses was not a malicious guy. He was weak. Timothy, don't be weak. And when church splits happen or people are going to leave,
in verse 14.
Don't stress out. It happens. In fact, I was thinking about, even with this teaching, the similarities to the body of Christ in our own body. Through the Apostle Paul, Christ warns us, kill your flesh. Control your thoughts. Romans 12:1. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stop thinking that. By the renewing of your mind. Anybody else know the rest of that? So you can show that. I'm drawing a complete blank, but here's what Romans 12: control your thoughts, kill your flesh, your death-doomed bodies, kill it. Don't submit. And the body of Christ can be the same way in churches. Kill it, kill that. Clean things up, clean these things up. So rebellions, these things, turn to.
Well, in that next verse, that's exactly what it says.
Okay, go ahead. Would you read it?
Remove ye the wicked man from among yourselves.
And so, okay, strip off the dead body, strip these things off, clean it. So when the church, for us, would be thinking, so when people do rebel, don't be shocked.
Yeah.
Actually be ready for it. If you are shocked, I just had that the other day, this morning, a random thought out of nowhere just came in through my head. And you know, when my flesh, when a thought comes in my head, the first thing that happens is my flesh then accuses me. What were you thinking? What was that? And then, I'm like, whoa, I'm just waking up. What the heck is this? Don't be shocked when those things happen. Adam and Eve, the genetics still live inside you. Mm-hmm. rebuke it. The love of God thinketh no evil, then nothing to do with me, Father. That is the flesh. I kill it. I've rebuked it. I've claimed it, and I've thrown it out. And they, when we do that, when those things happen, what happens? You have a great life. And I think this is what the apostle Paul's telling Timothy. Turn to Exodus chapter 32, and somebody read 22 through 27. It's page 117.
Exodus what? I'm sorry.
32.
What verses?
I'd like to read 22 through 27, please.
Okay. 22 to 27. And Aharon said, "Let not the anger of my Lord kindle. Thou thyself knowest the people, that ready for mischief they are. So they said to me, make for us gods who shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what hath befallen him. And I said to them, whosoever hath gold, let him break it off. So they gave it unto me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And Moses saw the people, and bridled they were, for Aharon had given them the rein, for a whispering among their enemies. So Moses took his stand in the gate of the camp, and said, who is for Yahweh to me? Then gathered unto him all the sons of Levi, and he said unto them, thus said Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, put you every man his sword upon his thigh, pass through and return from gate to gate in the camp, and slay you every man his brother, and every man his friend, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and they fell from among the people on that day about 3,000 men.
Who did the will of Yahweh?
Moses.
Moses. And if you can imagine letters to Timothy, the apostle Paul sitting down with Timothy and going, Timothy, and this is for all of us. You get a choice. You can be a Moses or a Aharon. And I miss it. And that's one of my weaknesses. I really like people. And I'll cave and I'm like, God, but just get better for the next time. When you miss it and you cave for something, repent. Apologize. If you were a stumbling block for somebody else, write something down. Hey, I was wrong. I was off course to get that thing. Then be ready for the next time. And get ready for the next time. Christ is watching. Yahweh's watching. Christ was watching Saul of Tarsus. If he could be watching Saul of Tarsus and be getting excited, hey, preparation, opportunity, meeting each other. I've heard about this. What could he do for us? I'm not a Saul of Tarsus. Can you imagine what he could possibly do in our lives if we rise to the occasion? And you know what? He might already be doing it in our lives, at least with this group. But here's the Moses, I like to think of the Apostle Paul warning Timothy. Think about Moses, Timothy. What would Moses do with fornicators? The letter I wrote to Corinth. What would he do about people heaping up teachers and itching ears? Stone. Timothy would be like, he'd kill him or get rid of him. Great. That's the job. Okay? Now it's going to be a little bit different. I mean, with the capital offenses and stuff, it's going to be different. But it's the concept. And even with the Apostle Paul being rejected by 43% of the church, to me, my mind went, this is just 2-3 hours ago. As I was thinking about reading the scriptures, the thought came, Moses would have been shocked. Would Moses have been shocked? Turn to Deuteronomy 31. This is the end of 40 years. This is the Joshua generation. This is the generation for 40 years with Moses. The old generation, the slave mentality is dead. They're about ready to open the land of Canaan. Go into the land of Canaan. Here's Moshe. Would somebody read verse 16?
Then said Yahweh unto Moses, lo, thou art about to sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go away unchastely after the gods of the foreigners of the land, into the midst of whom they are entering, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I solemnized with them. Keep reading.
You can pause right here. So Yahweh tells Moses, well, no, wait a minute. This is supposed to be utopia. He never promised utopia. In my mind, I think it's our nature, you know, how we're, our mind wants resolution. You listen to music, it wants resolution. There'll be dissonance, but you gotta resolve. And our minds will look at things, we need resolution. I think that's how Yahweh kind of designed us. We need the resolutions on the new heaven and earth. At least that's the next act. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do for a billion years? I have no idea. Our little bitty brains can't imagine a billion years, right? But even with here, I don't think Moses was shocked when I read that. I bet you Moses probably ripped his... No, Moses wasn't an idiot. Mm-hmm. Aaron, Moses was really smart. And later on, Moses is going to rebuke him. Then Moses is going to go to these people. I know what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And this is what's going to happen to you guys. You're going to go... What if, Timothy, are you listening, Timothy? Are you ready for this? Are you ready to continue? And here's Timothy listening, going, man, I don't know if I'm up for this. Timothy, what if Moses went down from the mountain and he said, I need everybody to get together. Everybody get together. Okay. 40 years, the Joshua generation. Okay. Yahweh just revealed to me that I'm not going into the land of Canaan with you. What do you think people would have said? They would have revolted. You're going with us. I mean, should we vote on this? What? Can you imagine what if this would have been Aaron back in the beginning of Exodus? What would the Aharon have done? Holy cow! This is really ticking them off. So I'm just imagining what. And here's Moses. Yeah, I'm going to die. Okay, but he didn't go to the people to find out what was going to keep them all together. But Moses would not have been shocked by the Apostle Paul like I was. And so what happened with this letter to Timothy, this warning, don't be a coward. I hate that word. Yeah. Okay? If you don't like the word, Aaron, a coward is a man who's afraid to die. It's a coward won't go to, it's Bill Clinton won't die for his country. It's Muhammad Ali. Everybody else can die for the country except for me. That's a coward. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to be a coward, don't be defined by the definition. Stand up. And you're standing up for the word. I was talking to Vero and we're talking about the word and stuff. I'm getting off course. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. So what happens with the churches, especially, you can apply this to some of the things that's happening to the Catholic Church. It's not the Catholic Church. It's the Pope with sodomy. And, oh my goodness. I mean, was that a shock? The Pope did this with sodomy. Maybe it shouldn't have been as much of a shock as it could have been. If I was seeing it through this is just a part of the cycle. Adam and Eve had two kids, fresh out of the garden. Pretty good government, right? Cain and Abel. It's just this life is about choices and people are going to choose. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it's going to be about Esau. Would somebody read 16 and 17?
Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for the sake of one meal yielded up his own firstborn rights. For ye know that afterwards, when he even wished to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For place of repentance found he none. Even though with tears, he diligently...
Doesn't that paint a picture? Did he cry?
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't repent. That's disgusting. It'd be better not to cry. What is wrong with you? The inheritance of Abraham and Isaac, and then here's Esau, for your immediate gratification, and we look at that in the word of promise, has him crying. The church today elevates Esau. They punch Jacob.
Yeah.
Yahweh calls him a fornicator. The Mormons really take this and they explain what they call sons of Esau. I heard something like this from a guy, Latter-day Saint. But he talked about what they call Esau are those who live in immediate gratification.
Hmm.
They're not thinking about the resurrection. They're not thinking about the church that they'll be shepherding after Christ comes back. They're thinking about this church. 20 years, what's my legacy? Is my son going to take over my church? Or this church? And he was kind of explaining to me, because the Esau's, this guy was, he's a really neat guy. He goes, all of us have an Esau inside of us. So I call it Adam. And he goes, and it's up to us to be thinking, to be, when Aaron made the golden calf, was he thinking about the resurrection and going before Yahweh? As immediate gratification. And here's the Esau's. And so there's going to be Esau's in the church. And people are going to fall away. There'll be Tommy Crabs or loved ones. Don't sweat it. Be ready for it. And let's see here. So what happened? And so there'll always be Cain's and Abel's. There's going to be Esau's and Jacob's. In this world, there's going to be sheep and goats. The thing that gets confusing for me, that I've not really been prepared, is when sheep turn to goats. Okay, because sheep do turn to goats. You ever seen Christians, devout believers, all of a sudden they're going to go do their own thing? And that's what really happened with the Apostle Paul, 43%. What happened? It appears what happened to the Apostle Paul with the church in Galatia, Colossia, and Ephesus, they heaped up their own teachers. Can you imagine now they got their own church with their own bishops, their own ministers, and now they start doing their own things? And as I started using my imagination, they have stories from angels showing up, okay? They have their own saints and these things. And you know what? Let's see here. Oh, but Moses, I don't think, would have been shocked about 43% of the churches of this rebellion. And I don't think the Apostle Paul was either. I used to read that and go, I didn't know it was that many churches. They go, poor Paul. Aaron, Paul was just like a Moses. He wasn't a sucker.
Yeah.
This guy was a real deal. He knew how to fight. He knew about warfare. And if anything, was it bitter? Absolutely it was bitter. But can you imagine the Apostle Paul before he went to sleep? He wrote the 2 Timothy. He wrote the 2 Timothy, Yahweh has delivered me from everything. But thinking, just imagine that. Corinth never rejected me. That was a tough letter. And did the Apostle Paul write that letter? No, Yahushua told him what to write. Here he's going, whoa, okay. The Colossians and Ephesus rejected him. Imagine that. But Father, we thank you for your word and for helping us be ready for rejection and for us to be to focus on the resurrection. And we thank you for these words. Don't get distracted in this very, very busy world. But be quiet. Hold yourself still. And I'll take care of you. Imagine Yehoshua, the perfect shepherd. Imagine him. How did he take care of sheep before his ministry? How tender would he have been? How about David with little lambs? They would declutter their fur, pull off parasites. They would just really take care of them. You can imagine them doing to these little lambs and these sheep. This is what I desire to do with each one of you. Separate yourself. Hold still. And just as a dog or a sheep is hard to hold still when you're trying to hurt, especially when they're hurt, relax and allow me to work on you, because there's some surgeries that I need to do on each one of you to set you free, to heal you, and to lead you into this next cycle of generation.
Amen.